It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL on this Easter weekend. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Tony Colombo in studio with producer Leah and, of course, my partner Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. Great to see you, buddy. How's it going?
It's good to be back. Good to be back.
And also in studio with us this week is our good friend Mike Marfell, professional fisherman.
Not so professional last week. That's Tony. good thing I've got a real job, or we'd be hungry at the Marfell compound.
It looks like we're going to get a good story here in a minute. Yeah, because
me and Gabe tell straight the good ones with the bad ones.
Yeah. So the one of the there's always something, especially this time of year. There's plenty to talk about when it comes to getting out on the water, fishing experiences, stories, tournaments, all of that stuff. But kind of your season kickoff was last weekend. Is that correct?
It was the first tournament as a grandpa. I had a sub the first tournament, actually.
Gotcha.
So it was me and Gabe's first kickoff together for the 2023, yes.
Yep, and it was last weekend at the Lake of the Ozarks, so I wanted to...
Get your butts down there. It's about to be on fire.
Nice. I wanted to get your thoughts about that tournament, results, anything that you learned going into the spring here as we get ready to really kick into full-blown fishing season. So we'll do that today. We also have a guest coming up in the next segment from Brush Pile Jigs.
Lee Sharp, the owner. It's Brush Pile Jigs. It's a crappie plastics company that are based out of Decatur, Illinois. Really good folks.
Nice.
Yeah, I went and checked out their website. They got some cool-looking stuff.
Yeah, they got this good jigs. They sell real well, and people like them.
You got them in the store then?
Yeah, we're nice. Carry all their stuff.
Nice.
That's awesome. And crappie fishing was not a big deal, but as we've talked about over the last couple of years, you know, bass fishing has been the thing that's been on TV and, you know, Bassmasters and all of that, you know, kind of is one of the things that you think of first.
Crappies on its heels,
but
that's for sure.
Crappie, yeah, catfish, walleye, I mean, all these other types of fishing have been really growing quickly over the last couple of years. So I'm sure that they are experiencing that at Brush Pile. We'll talk to them. We'll talk to him about that in just a little bit. That'll be in the second segment of the show. And then at the end of the show, in the third segment, as we always do, we'll bring you this week's fishing report. So if you are getting out on the water this weekend or this week, you'll be able to use that information out there a little bit as well. So also looking forward to this weekend, which is supposed to have some great weather for Easter weekend. Next weekend, well, I feel like we've been talking about it forever, and it's finally here. The R100 event is the weekend after Easter. So this coming weekend, tell us about it.
14 to 16, it's out at Warren Leavis. Boy Scout Camp in Godfrey, Illinois. Shooting's on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the targets just showed up. So we're actually in the process today of actually setting those up and getting it all ready to go.
So if people want to participate, is it too late? Can you join?
Oh, no, you can register that day. Show up. Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if you want to come out, and it's all different skill levels. You don't have to be an accomplished.
There's eight different skill levels. Yeah. And traditional bow level, you know, it's just everything's covered, and it's a very family oriented event, and hopefully we'll see a lot of people
out there. Absolutely, that's awesome. And you know, we're talking about,
seems like we've been talking about it for ever, because it's so exciting that it's going to be here finally.
And it's another one of those great outdoor activities, just like we're talking about with crappie fishing, catfish, all that, that has been growing. Interest in the archery field and bow hunting and all of that stuff is another thing. I mean, part of the reason that you opened up the archery range there at Bluff City Outdoors is because that the community that's interested and very active in shooting bow and arrow is growing every year.
It's growing a lot. And then, you know, I think Alton there just happened to be in the right spot to put something like that. And hadn't had an archery shop for years. And before when they had it, it was busy. And so, yeah, and it's getting busy there too. So,
what's the best place to go if people want to learn a little bit more about the R100 and get the details about the event and show up on time and all that sort of stuff? Where's the best place to get that?
Yeah, so our Facebook page, Bluff City Outdoors, I've been doing a post every week with a link to the R100 registration page. So
nice.
I'll be doing another one this weekend.
Fantastic. So make sure you are checking that out. I'm sure we'll have some great stories about that event next week and in the following weeks here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show. And while we're talking about it, what's going on out there at the archery range and Bluff City in general?
Yep, it's getting busy. Fishing's coming on real strong, but we're shooting leagues two nights a week, Wednesday and Friday. Friday's traditional. Wednesday night's the compound bow league, the hunter league. And then we got open shooting from 8 to 8 every day.
That's so cool.
That is cool.
It is fun.
We got to get
them on out and check it out.
Yeah.
Dude, I've done it twice now out there, and it's one of those things that, like, it's kind of like when you get your first tattoo.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, I want another one. Like, you go out and you shoot, and you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I could see this becoming
very addictive.
A habit.
Yeah.
It's a really good time. And with Jeff, the bow tech out there, I mean, we've talked about Jeff and the entire staff out at Bluff City Outdoors before, but if you are a novice, if your skill level is zero, like mine was, and my 12-year-old daughter, who has never shot anything and was out there with me the last time and shot bow and arrow, Jeff is so knowledgeable. But sometimes, like, you know, when the best athletes, like Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky, they make terrible coaches.
Right.
They're the best at they're the best ever. Yeah, they're the best at the sport, but they can't convey that. They can't teach it to somebody who doesn't have that gift that they have. Jeff is as accomplished as you can get when it comes to shooting bow and arrow, but he is an incredible teacher. He can, so if
yeah,
you...
Yeah,
you...
he understands everybody's level.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
absolutely.
So he can come in there where they need to be. If you,
right.
If you have none, he can. Yep, they can take care of you if you're you know.
I bet he likes working with people with none better because you got a fresh slate.
Yeah,
they don't have bad habits. Yeah.
They don't have bad habits.
Nothing
break.
On that camp.
That's why women
are not going to fight
shooting
back.
Pistols. Sometimes they don't have any, and they just shut up and listen.
Yeah, and they're better.
And they're better listeners than we are.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah they take to it.
Says.
Yeah. Mine too.
That's awesome. So follow Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook, and of course you can check out the website also, Bluff City Outdoors. com, but Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page really does have a lot of great updates about the shop, and if you want to learn more about the archery range, the R100 event, and everything going on out there at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, make sure you're following them on Facebook. All right, can't avoid it anymore. I know maybe it's a sore. I didn't know until just now. We haven't talked.
No, so we haven't.
I
just briefly.
I didn't know if it was if it was a good week or a bad week.
It was rough
last weekend. But tell us what happened out there.
It was one of those tournaments where I thought I was going to give everybody a big scare.
Yeah.
In practice.
And instead you gave yourself a big scare?
Yes. In practice,
oh, no.
They were biting a jig, and we were around. We had it narrowed down. To the right, I mean, we could go from spot to spot that looked the same with the wind blowing in, and every one we went in, we'd catch a keeper. Bam. Some of them be three, some of them be four, some of them be five. And we thought we had it figured out. So we went and hunted more of those areas on the second day of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the wind did a 180, the temperature dropped, but we were still able to find those same areas. But we started where we had caught the best ones on Friday. And no, I'm sorry. We went to a new spot and Gabe caught a 4-plus fish right out of the gate early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, we're going to go bounce those spots. That was the game plan, man. We'll just rotate. We're all within 3 or 4 miles. We're just going to rotate these spots. It's a timing thing. Mm-hmm. We went in there where my electronics, Tony, on Friday would go completely black, like say it's 3 feet deep when I know I'm setting in 18 feet of water because the bait was so thick.
Mm.
There wasn't shad one in there by Sunday.
Wow.
Gone.
Wow.
Completely gone.
No shad.
No shad.
Fish.
No. So we'd run to the next spot. And so we just started.
No food, no fish.
Yeah. So especially this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kept running those spots, chasing our tail. And We had two. Let me correct that.
What happened? Was it the temperature drop? Was it? Was it? The
I don't
change?
Know.
What?
I don't know. The wind was blowing the exact same direction on Sunday as it was on Friday. So you would have think it would have held those fish in there and the shad in there. I mean, and we're talking about. We seen two trees get blown over. We seen multiple pieces of lawn furniture tumbling down into the lake, coming off of docks, off of decks. It was kind of scary, actually. Mm-hmm. It was like 30-mile-an-hour winds with gusts up to 50.
Yeah.
I mean, it was rough.
Yeah, and if you remember, we were talking about that last week here on News Talk STL about that. If you remember, last Friday was supposed to be those storms that were going to come through.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't quite, it wasn't quite the widespread intense event that it would kind of look like it might be, but there were still a lot of areas that got hit with really strong winds.
Right.
And in some
rain. You know, I was taking my cover off of my boat that morning, and a guy was on his morning walk, and he was like, "You going out today?" And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh man, be careful." You know, people were kind of, you know, it was rough. But where those fish went, I don't know. And when I say we, I mean Gabe caught two fish for 8.58. So we were around the right fish. You get five of those and you got over 20 pounds, and it took a little under 21 to win. We just, every fish I caught was in less than 2 foot of water.
Hmm.
And here's a crazy, I skipped my jig back up under the cables, under the walkway where I could see a laydown. Water's still 5.5 feet low. Visibility was good. I did it three times, and I was spun the boat around. I was like, "Gabe, pitch that shaky hit in there. There's got to be a bass in there." And that's where he caught the second one that was over 4 pounds. Wouldn't eat the jig, but ate the little bitty. He had a little bitty quarter ounce shaky head, and they ate it like that. Why I stubborn did not put a shaky head on? Because I just kept thinking it's the afternoon bite. Yeah. We caught most of it. They're coming shallow. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't take me long to catch three bass.
Sometimes that practice or that previous success
bites you in the butt.
Makes you stubborn. I am the same
way. I can count the amount of tournaments that I've won where my practice was horrible.
Yeah. 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 When you set your mind to something, like
you can't get it out of your head the way I was catching them on Friday and Saturday. You just can't get it out of your head.
How often does that?
I've won more tournaments that I had crappy practices and just went fishing.
Yeah.
On the turn, I was like, I don't even have a starting point.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going.
Right.
I don't make that decision until the boat comes on pad.
Visually.
Yeah.
That day.
That looks good.
Yeah.
I've caught them here before. I'm going in there.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Is it worthless? I don't want to say worthless, but like if you practice on a Friday for a tournament that starts on Saturday. And we're in the Midwest, you know, we're in this
area. Especially this time of year.
Yeah, you know, it could be the difference of 30 degrees. I mean, like, how is it if you practice in one set of conditions and then the next day is completely different? Is that
they can't move far, but you got to figure it out quicker. Gotcha. And I didn't. We did a recap video on the way home, and I'd been thinking about it for an hour. Gabe could tell I was sitting over there stewing because there's not many tournaments where I don't catch a keeper.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often.
I can't ever remember that.
It doesn't happen very often. Yeah. And he was like, "Well, you want to do a recap?" And I was like, "Yeah, I've been thinking about it since we got in the truck, like what I'd have done different." And I would have, halfway through the day, the wind had picked up. We should have went back to the area that we caught the first one in where the wind was blowing. We knew there was still bait in there and got a great big spinnerbait and covered as much water as we possibly could with a big spinnerbait. And turns out the guys that won it were throwing a big spinnerbait.
Wow. So what else did you hear from some of the other guys that were in the tournament?
Alabama Rig was a big player still.
Yeah,
and they were hitting as many windblown main lake points as possible. The big spinnerbait, the jerkbait, and a lot of fish caught on a wiggle wart. Mm. And that should tell you it's about to be on because they're biting about everything and they're pushing, like I've told you guys before, the length of days. And those days are getting longer and those fish are wanting to get up. Our friend Jay Hall, Beffa caught a big, he didn't get big bass, but it was 20, 25, full of eggs. Just completely full of eggs. Because, you know, they're going to spawn in waves. They don't all go to the bank at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's about to be that time where you can pick up your favorite bait, go to the bank, and catch them.
Yeah, and Mark, you said you're seeing that out at the shop too.
Yeah,
like people are, we're right at the cusp of go time.
Hey, how long do you think that spawn from start to finish? You know, like you said, they come in waves. How long do you think that lasts?
I think, in my opinion, 6 weeks.
That's what I was thinking.
It's two moon phases.
Yep.
You know, and then there's some weird fish that will spawn really late on the main lake. Like they'll pick a little shelf off of a bluff and spawn on that, and that's usually later.
Mm-hmm.
And the water temperatures, Mark, we were seeing like 55 degrees by the end of the day, so you know they're wanting up bad. And the ones we caught up shallow hadn't been there very long. You can tell by the color of them. You know, they haven't been shallow very long. And that's what's crazy about that. Like, me and Gabe fishing, I was like, man, this water's awful dirty. We ran 4 miles and the visibility completely changed. So at that lake, that's the other thing. Just pick up and run. You know, go if the water doesn't look right, something doesn't feel right, just move. And we fished from the mouth of the Glaze to about the 28-mile mark, and just everything. It was usually, Tony, it was the first cut off of a main lake creek that was on the channel side.
Mm.
And it would be, you go into a creek, and it would be that first or second cut, and if it had chunk rock with a little bit of pea gravel in the back, on that chunk rock, and if it had bait in it, you get keeper like that. We were getting feedback like that. Didn't get any feedback come Sunday. You know, I mean, we did. Gabe caught two really nice ones. It's just, and I kept thinking, it don't take me long to get three. If we just get three 15 right. inches, we're going to get a check. And if we get three more like this, we're going to be sniffing around a win.
Right.
But it just didn't happen. And that big spinner bait this time of year has always been my panic bait. Why I didn't go to it, I don't know. Setting, waiting to get the boat out. You know, you got 230 boats at PB2. It takes a minute. And you know how you get the memories on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
This day 2 years ago. And it was me holding
my trophy.
It was me holding a 6-plus pounder and a giant Willow Lee spinner blade. I'm like, why didn't that come in the morning?
No memory.
Why didn't that come in the morning?
No memory coming in 5 years about today, about last week.
No. None at all.
Have that experience.
There would have been from Friday. There was a couple pictures. You'll see our practice was pretty stellar. So, yeah, I wish that photo would have came first thing in the morning.
Right.
And that way I would have said, oh, big dummy, go pick up a spinnerbait and go cover a bunch of water. But
right,
it is what it is. And we, with the 10 horse, we bring you the good with the bad.
I mean, you're talking, it's like a 3/4
ounce. I throw a three, with that kind of wind, you're going to need a 3/4 ounce with either a single giant willow leaf or two giant willow leaves. And I usually trailer it. I put a trailer hook on with a swim bait as the keeper. So you got a paddle tail behind your spin. I mean, it's a big profile. You're not going to catch a lot of 12 inches on it. When you catch one, it's going to be a tournament fish. Yeah. So, but I didn't. And my partner Gabe's, you know, he's experimenting with that little, he's really good with that little shaky head. And I just figured, I don't care if he catches all five of them, you know, right. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, it just didn't happen. And I feel bad. I didn't help him out more by changing up quicker.
That's why he's your partner.
That's right. Well, live and learn, you know, like next time. I need to get like a shock collar that shocks me at a certain time. This is not working, dummy. You love that jig.
You need to make a change.
I just knew I was gonna give them a scare the way they were biting that jig.
So we will we'll get into a little bit more of details in the fishing report coming a little bit later on in the show. But I want to remind you that you can always, Mike's talking about the recap video and those sort of things. That's all at the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. That is Mike's partner, Gabe, the 10 Horse. 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. It is just a wealth of fishing content.
He'll drop our practice and then the tournament and then the recap.
The recap.
Yeah.
Anything from being out on the water, actually fishing, to... like you said, the planning discussion, the recap, interviews with big names in the fishing industry, all at the 10 Horse.
Even showed breakfast at the Pancake House this time.
Hey, nice. There you go.
Hottest cakes at the lake, maybe.
Yeah, make sure you're subscribed to the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel, and also make sure you're subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast. We put this show out as a podcast every week shortly after we get off the air. So if you miss us on News Talk STL on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. or Sundays at noon when we play the show the second time, you can always catch us on the podcast. Or if you just want to take us with you when you're out there on the water, make sure you subscribe to the Bluff City Outdoor Show podcast on your favorite podcast platform, because we are on just about all of them, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, and many, many more. All right, we will bring you that fishing report a little bit later on in the show, but we are going to talk to Lee Sharp from Brush Pile Jigs in just a moment here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Back when it was me and my
girl. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on News Talk STL.
Tie rod, bust a truck in a shop. Baby got gone and the bank won't stop.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here with producer Leah, my partner Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors, and also Mike Marfell, professional fisherman, in studio with us this week. Going to bring you the fishing report, our weekly fishing report, here in just a few moments. But first, as I mentioned, our guest this week joining us on the line now is Lee Sharp, the owner of Brush Pile Jig. Great crappie jig company out of Decatur, Illinois. And Lee, really appreciate your time this afternoon and for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me. We really appreciate the opportunity to get our name out there.
Yeah, you bet. You know, we were just talking about this in the first segment of the show, and something that we've talked about a whole lot over the last several months and actually last couple of years. The crappie industry is one of the industries in the fishing community that has really been booming. You know, we talk about, you know, bass fishing kind of gets the headlines a lot of times, but, you know, crappie, catfishing, and these other, some of these other species, this has been just absolutely on fire. And I would imagine that's that you're seeing some of that, and maybe that was also some of the inspiration as you go along with the company Brush Pile. Tell us about the product, the company, and a little bit about yourself.
You bet. Yeah, we've been in business about 12 years now, and we started manufacturing jig heads back in the day, and we saw a need for a quality plastic in the crappie world, and so we started toying around and came up with what we have now. So yeah, we've been around for a while. We've seen a huge explosion in the crappie industry in the last 10 years. It just keeps climbing and climbing up the ladder, and I got into it as a hobby, and then it turned from a hobby into a business, and it's our full-time business now.
that is
good for you.
Yeah, no kidding. That's beautiful to be able to
America.
Do something that you love. Yep. So have you been a fisherman your whole life? Has this been a passion of yours, get out, you know, to be out on the water and then, you know, start a company that allows you to kind of continue that passion?
Exactly. Yeah, I've been a fisherman since I was old enough to hold a fishing pole, and we started on the Fox River there in northern Illinois, and then I moved down here to Decatur and started fishing Decatur and Clinton and Shelbyville, Pena, all those, and started to get into the, you know, the sport of crappie fishing, and then it just kind of exploded from there. And so yeah, we've been in it for quite a while now.
What drew you to the crappie? What drew you to wanting to focus on that part of the industry?
I'll tell you, I started on bass fishing when I was younger. I followed the Bassmasters a lot, and then I started crappie fishing a little bit and noticed that they were just a lot of fun, and it was a little bit easier for me to track them down and find them. So I just started to specifically crappie fish, and it's kind of blown up from there.
Yeah, and Mark, we've talked about this on the show, and we've discussed it in the fishing report over the last few months. I don't know if it's because maybe it is because more people are sort of focusing on it, or it's a growing, but like, I feel like that's been something that we've been talking about more than ever lately, is, you know, the boom in the crappie area.
Yeah, it's just when people started getting out here 3 or 4 years ago, and it started before that, but you just really saw the crappie industry taking off. You know, the bass has been there a long time. They kind of lead the way, but then the, you know, crappie is just, it was just a natural thing to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. Lee, what was it? Was there an aha moment, or was there an inspiration? You know, maybe you're out fishing one day and you just feel like, you know, I can do this better, or I wish that I had a jig that looked like this or did this. Like, what was the inspiration to starting the company and creating the specific products that you do?
You're right. You kind of hit that one on the head. It was a time when I was out in November, and we were tightlining a jig, and we had a package of another company, and then we had some that we had just made, and ours outfished that other package in the, you know, the toughness and in the actual fish biting it, and we said, okay, we're onto something here. So so we just kept going with that, and we've had some awesome retailers like Mark at Bluff City that have welcomed us in, and we have built relationships with them and just continued to grow every year.
Mark, how, when you your customers, whether it be specifically brush pile or, you know, whether it be crappie, catfish, bass, when guys have confidence in a specific brand, when that a name of a product and a brand, when people have that confidence, how big of a deal is it to them? Like
it's a huge thing.
They're in.
You know, once they have confidence in a bait, you know, and you know, if you go back 15 years ago, I mean, Bobby Garland's custom lures kind of led the way for the for this revolution in crappie.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Ned and Betty sold that company to got sold to Pradco, which has bought up, you know, they buy up everything.
Yep.
Bandit. Whenever Pradco buys something, the colors start disappearing.
Oh.
They really cut back on the SKUs. And for some reason, I don't know, maybe 3 years
That's ago, called streamlining.
Yeah, streamlining.
But they must sometimes they streamline the wrong direction.
But their plastic started tearing up real bad.
Mm.
And like Lee's, you know, the brush pile, it's a good combination of action and durability, which, you know, people want. I mean,
you get what you pay for,
you
man.
You kind of get what you pay for.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, Mike, we have Mike Marfell with us, a professional fisherman, bass fisherman, but I'm sure it's the same mindset
yeah.
for you when you...
Yeah,
when you find a company that you trust,
I buy them 100 at a time in my jigs. You know, and it's Crocker, Gator, and Jewel for the most part, and Omega, and they're all local. Yep. That's what I try to. If I was a crappie fisherman, I would send everybody to Lee because buy local, man.
Yeah, amen to that.
Strike King's got enough of my money over the years, and I'm partially sponsored by Strike King, but I'm just saying, support your local stuff, whether it's your brewery or your, you know, whatever. I mean,
amen to that.
Lee, I've got family in Springfield. What stores are you in up that direction? So, because some of them listen to me jabber on about fishing on the podcast. So,
we've got our own store here on Mound Road in Decatur, which is just our brush pile jig shipping location, and then we are also in Big Red's Bait and Tackle in Springfield.
Big Red's Bait and Tackle. I will pass that on.
Sounds like my kind of place.
Oh, we got firefighters up there, so I'll let them know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we probably have met then. My wife's been a full-time paramedic for 25 years, and I was also a paramedic. So,
well, my brother was the second in command of the Springfield Fire Department, and his daughter is now a helicopter nurse out of Springfield.
Nice.
Outstanding.
Thanks
for the service. We appreciate them.
And his son's a firefighter as well. So
perfect.
Talking to Lee Sharp, he's the owner of Brush Pile Jigs. Lee, tell us a little bit about the specific products for people that may be wanting to learn more. You know, what goes into Brush Pile and sets you apart?
Yeah, we've actually got 7 different styles now. We go all the way from 1 inch all the way up to 2.5 inches. And in most of them, we have 42 colors. And in our laminate line, which is a color on top and a color on the bottom, we have 24 colors in those. So if you're used to, you know, seeing a bait like that, we definitely have that. We've got glow in all of our tails, and that's what kind of sets us apart is all of our tails glow and some of our heads glow as well. And they will react to UV light. So the
that's what I was going to say. It's UV. That's what it is. Like the like the UV. Yep. That's cool.
They will react to the UV light. We do have a UV line. We are the only bait company in the United States that is licensed through Tightlines UV to use UV in our baits. And we actually have a Pro Series that we put all the UV in. And that's how we market that.
That is awesome. How hard was that to get with Tightlines?
Well, actually, that story is kind of funny. We met Brett.
I figured it would be.
10-11 years ago at Collinsville, and we were putting UV in our baits, and Brett came over to us and he said, hey, you know, I'm going to introduce myself to you. And he did. And he said, I really like you and Jennifer. You guys seem like you're good people. Whenever I talk to you, he goes, I have the patent for UV in baits in the United States. He said, but, don't worry about that. He said, keep doing what you're doing. He said, if I ever need to change that, we will. And so actually Brett came to us, last year and he said, okay, you guys haven't quit, and you just keep getting bigger, 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 bigger. It's time that you know that you pay the piper. So that's exactly what we did. We signed a contract, and it was 100%. You know, on both sides. We both appreciated each other, and we signed a contract. And he said, "I will let no other crappie baits in, and you guys are it, because you guys are the real deal, and you're American, and I believe in you, and as long as you're good with it." And we said yes. So we now have the the ability to put UV in our baits, and we have his blessing and protection, so to speak. So that's helped us out a bunch.
See, that Collinsville show, I mean, that's where I met Jennifer Tate.
I was going to say, that's why you go to the Collinsville show, folks.
We talk about that show. It was, here, a couple months ago, and we've talked about that. Not only is it the best show that comes to our town every year, it's one of the biggest in the
country.
Certainly the Midwest and the country.
Maybe not biggest size wise, but as far as they got all the right stuff. There's not a lot of junk there.
Lee, why is the UV so important? What does it do that sets Brush Pile apart from the rest to have that technology as part of the product?
Yeah, basically, and the funny thing you asked me about that is, the funny thing, I've had two marine biologists that came into our booth, and they kind of giggled, and they said, "You're right, spot on. You're spitting out facts." And because I had checked this out before I would ever say anything, so we are spelling facts and not just marketing here. But crappie can see in the UV spectrum. They have that ability in their eyes. And so when you put the powder in these baits, they can actually see the baits better. Crappie are a sight feeder, so if they can see the baits better, they can eat the baits. The really interesting thing is bait fish give off the same UV phosphorescence that our baits do. So to a crappie, it appears more natural to them, and when they see it, they say, "Okay, that's something that I can eat," and they come to eat it. So that's kind of the breakdown of the simplest form of why UV works in crappie baits.
That's awesome, and I'm sure that you listen to your customers and get feedback constantly from people out on the water, and what's working, what's not working, as we get ready to really get into full swing here of the 2023 season. What are you hearing? Is there anything? What's hot out there right now? Are you noticing any trends or anything that's happening out there when it comes to this new crappie season?
It is so funny. It's like every couple of years, I know Mark's seen this in the retail side of this. There's a hot color that the crappies seem to enjoy, and I don't know what it is about the sunlight, whatever, but it was pink for a while, and now it seems to me like you switched over to blue. Anything with a blue body, laminate or a solid blue head, it just seems to fly off the shelves, and the crappie are just going crazy over it.
Do you see that, Mark?
Blue is definitely the color.
Whether it be blue or do you see that on a every year? It seems like there's a color that catches on.
Yeah,
like
it seems it's definitely trendy. It's like anything, And I mean, it's been the last couple of years. A monkey milk's the name of the color.
The name, man. That's what's catching. Yeah. Monkey's milk.
And it's kind of a creamy color, but it's got a glimmer to it. So
it does glimmer black.
Yeah. It's been a good color.
Every single one of my kids are all 7 years apart. So it's like every generation I'm teaching another young one about everything. And every year, every time, it's taken me a long time to explain why the pumpkin color
green pumpkin
when pumpkins are orange, a pumpkin, green. Give me that pumpkin, and the kids are like, why is the pumpkin one green? Like, it should be orange. So I get it. And Mike, that's not BS out there. Things like the small change of the weight, the color, all of that's important.
Talked about in the first segment, I threw that jig in there three times, and then Gabe threw that shaky head in there, little bitty 4-inch shaky head, and bam, 4.5-pounder ate it. So they just sat there and watched my jig go by three times. So, it is
something a little different.
Yep, something a little different. And it was, blue skies, and they were a little finicky, and I was a lot stubborn. So it happens.
Yeah,
there you go.
Do you think that it gets spread by the hot color, word of mouth, and that's, one guy wrecks him?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, as again, I'm going to sound like a broken record here with Mark, but I know he's seen it come in the store and on his website, but the social media has a huge impact on colors and people and what they are willing to try, because most of these guys will come in, to the booths at the shows and say, "Well, I've got five or six colors that I use, and that's it. So, it's going to be tough to sell me." But then their buddy catches it on, you know, a pink and green, and all of a sudden here they are. They're wanting to try that pink and green. And so, you know, social media, just mouth-to-mouth, you know, talking to each other. It's all just a little bit different, and it's all part of it.
And Lee, we talked about, you know, how crappie fishing and just fishing in general, the numbers are rising, the interest in getting out there on the water seems to be increasing. Are you seeing that it slowing down anytime soon, or is this do you see the continuation of people either discovering or rediscovering the great outdoors?
Right. You're exactly right. They're rediscovering the great outdoors, and our sales have really, you know, been taken off every year, and we're getting into larger and larger markets that I never knew existed until, you know, they're saying, well, we've got so many people looking for your product that you can tell that the market is growing, and it's still on its way up. I don't know when it will level off, but I hope no time soon.
It's good news for...
It is good news. And what I like to see is somebody like Lee, you know, family-ran business.
Yeah,
like
100%.
Coming out and getting more market share.
Yeah.
You know, since Pradco bought Bobby Garland's, I mean, they're shrinking the color list like we've expected. Quality's not as good as it was when Gene LaRue was making the baits for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he can take all of that market share he wants.
Yeah. Hey, man, yeah. Couldn't agree more. Not, you know... Made in America is very important, but made in the local area, Missouri, Illinois, bi-state area, even
by
better.
By a fisherman.
Amen.
Yeah. By a fisherman, too. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't let them wave that money in front of you, Lee.
Oh, they never do. No, I've got heart. You know what I mean?
There you go.
We've got our spirit in it, and that's where we're from. So, yeah, it's gonna take a lot of money to get it away from me.
Well, listen, Lee, there's so many more conversations and stories to tell, I'm sure. So would love to get you back on the show really, really soon. In the meantime, sure. If people want to learn more about brush pile jigs, of course, they can just go out to Bluff City Outdoors and pick up some right there in the shop. But websites, social media channels, any other way that people can learn more about brush pile?
We have exploded on social media on purpose. We have brushpilejig.com. We also have our Facebook, which is at Brush Pile Jigs. We have a Twitter. And we have a TikTok also.
Nice.
and an Instagram. So we are pretty much covered.
Fantastic. Well, I encourage everybody to check them out, brushpilejig.com. Or like we said, just go out to Bluff City Outdoors and tell them you want to check out.
Stocking all their colors.
Yeah, there you go.
It takes a lot of wall space.
That's all
that
right.
That does.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We appreciate you, Mark.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you, Lee. We appreciate what you're doing, and we appreciate your time today. And look forward to having you back on the show real, real soon. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having us on. You guys have a good afternoon.
Yeah.
Stay safe.
You
bet.
You too, Lee.
Yeah, see you, Lee. Thanks so much. Great stuff there. Lee Sharp, the owner of Brush Pile Jigs.
What a cool dude.
Yeah, what a cool dude. I feel like there's a lot of stories.
Did he say him and his wife were an EMT?
Yeah. Yeah.
That reminds me of Jim and Denise Dill. They were both EMTs, too.
Okay.
Yeah. That's awesome.
They owned Crocagator before Joey. Yeah, that's cool.
That's super cool. Go out to Bluff City Outdoors. Tell the guys out there that you want to check out the Brush Pile products, and they'll show you everything they got. And then also brushpilejig.com. You can check them out there. All right. We need to bring you this week's fishing report, and we will do that in just a moment here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk SDI.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Great conversation there in that last segment with Lee Sharp from Brush Pile Jigs. Definitely got to get him back on the show with us very, very soon. If you missed that conversation or just want to make sure or check it out again, make sure you never miss anything that happens here on the show. As we mentioned earlier, just make sure you are subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoor Show podcast. We put the show out as a podcast every week right after we get off the air, so you never have to miss anything that happens here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show. Talking about this time of year, how it's right at the beginning, very exciting, starting a new season, going to be a lot going on the water, and a lot of people getting back outside for the first time in a while. Another one of those great outdoor activities, of course, is is grilling. And if you are getting ready to start your grilling season, make sure you have some Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. As we were talking about with Lee at Brush Pile, how important it is to support local industry and support local businesses. Rockwood Charcoal, no different. Great local company. And of course, Missouri is the number one charcoal maker in the country. So you're supporting local industry. And Rockwood Charcoal has been ranked the number one consumer rated charcoal 9 years running. So you're supporting local business and you're using the best product out there. So it is a win, win, win across the board. Rockwood Lump Charcoal stands above the rest. If you never used lump charcoal before, it's just a superior product all around to like the traditional briquettes that maybe you are used to. There's just less junk in them. There's no chemicals. There's no filler, which allows the charcoal to burn hotter. It burns faster. It gives you more control of your experience. And Rockwood Lump Charcoal can be found in over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right, that time of the week again, Mark, to bring everybody the fishing report. So kick us off.
Okay, we'll get with it. First out at Truman Lake with Jordan Lear. He's a guide and a buddy out there. Crappies, good. Crappie are good. 6 to 15 feet of water, 2 to 10 feet down. Brush piles and standing timber in the backs of creeks and coves. Roman schools in the open water. Spider rigging with minnows is working well. Jigs with natural colors in the clean water. Dark colors in the stain water. Catfish are good, anchoring halfway back up the creeks. Shallow mud flats in the main lake. 2 to 5 feet using the Santee Cooper rig. Fresh cut shad. Black bass, fair. Fish the main lakes, windy banks. Halfway back up in the creeks and the coves. Throw a half-ounce football jig around the brush piles, 10 to 15 feet deep. Jerk baits and shad color. Alabama rigs are also working well. Spinnerbaits working in the creeks as well, in the dirty water. Mike should have listened to that.
Yes, sir.
White and chartreuse. Walleye. Fish in the back of the creeks, up the river arms with jerk baits, crappie jigs, and sliders are working well. Go out to Carlisle with Eric Morning. He's on my pro staff. Carlisle's at 446, and the water temps have been hitting 50 in a couple of the areas. Crappie have begun to move shallow, but the rain and the unstable weather has the bite real sporadic. Catfish bite's been good on the shallow flats adjacent to the rocks. Go out the Rend with Fred Mooney. He's a guide out there. Crappie bite has picked up slightly this week. Water temps are in the mid-50s. Buck brush fishing has been the most consistent style for us this week. Minnows under slip corks, 2 feet deep in the brush. And what did he say here? Oh, yeah, the lake's still above pool, about 410 feet. Local rivers and lakes, Eric Morey again. Lakes are warming up and in the low 50s. Crappie are transitioning to the shallow water to spawn. Largemouth pre-spawn bite is in full swing, and they're moving shallow as well, chasing baits. And some stable water ought to really get it going. And then I got one more river catfishing from Jason Big Cat Mathena. Ooh, he's a guide out there, nice. Real good buddy. He said extreme high water has the fishing running for cover. Finding most of the fish tucked behind the dikes and on the mud flats that have a lot of wood cover. The more wood, the better. Cut shad is still the bait of choice. Fishing from an anchored spot has proven more effective than drifting or bumping. Current water clarity is muddy and temps fluctuating between 46 and 48 degrees.
And Mike Marfell.
Lake of the Ozarks. Yeah. It's good and getting better. There's still fish in the early pre-spawn and some in the later parts of the moving closer to the spawn. So there's fishes in all three stages. Best baits that are working, Alabama rig, jerk bait, rock crawler, jig, shaky head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be this weekend and next. Go shallow and throw your favorite bait, honestly. Mm-hmm. Look for those spawning pockets and the rock transitions from big rock to chunk and from chunk to pea gravel. And that's what you're looking for. And they're going to be every bass that I know. Granted, I screwed up and didn't catch the right. We caught the right ones, not enough of them. Every bass I caught in practice and in the tournament was in less than 2 feet of water.
And consistently there throughout the report, we kept hearing about the water temperature being at or
Lake of the Ozarks was 48 in the morning, yeah, and by 55, 56 by the end of the day, surface, yeah, temperature.
Is there a number? Is there a temperature that like is a signal to you that like once it gets above a certain temperature, like it really, yeah, is go time, or is that not?
It's a thing. 55 is go time, yeah, but it's still length of days, in my opinion.
Right.
It's getting towards that first full moon in May.
Gotcha.
Now, some will spawn earlier. Like I said, that big one was caught, was full of eggs, so she's not going to be able to wait till the first full moon in May.
Right.
So they spawn down there in all different phases, and you're talking about a lake that's 96 miles long, so it's going to be different from one end to the other. Clear water up in the Gravois and towards the dam, and dirtier water in the river. So they don't all spawn at the same time.
Right.
So good weights down there this weekend, by the way. I mean, it took 2069 to win.
Right.
So, and then it dropped off after that, but they're moving to the bank, and it's good, getting better.
It's an exciting time to be somebody who enjoys the great outdoors. It's an exciting time to be somebody who likes to fish. And make sure you are ready for your next fishing trip by visiting, of course, Bluff City Outdoors, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's there in Alton. And also, don't forget about the R100 event coming weekend. Mark, one more time for people that want to check that event out, how they can get all the information about the R100.
Yeah, so we'll be putting it on our Facebook page. We're putting a link out there to the Reinhardt site with their event, so you can pre-register. You save a few bucks if you register early. But yeah, it's at Warren Leavis Boy Scout Camp, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, April 14th through the 16th.
So
yeah.
3 days. I was thinking two. But
yeah, 3 days.
Yep, absolutely.
And not to compete with that, but if you're in the bass fishing, the Big Bass Bash is next weekend too, the spring version.
Yeah.
At Lake of the Ozarks. Yep. And you can go down and win you $100,000 with one cast.
There you go. Like I said, it's a great time to be an outdoorsman across the board. You should be following Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook already, but definitely go there and get all the information about the R100 event. Follow Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook. Make sure you're subscribed to the 10 Horse Monty YouTube
channel. Smash that like button.
To keep up with everything that Mike and his partner Gabe are doing out there on the water. And make sure you're subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast so you never miss anything that we do here on the show. That's going to wrap up this week's edition of the show. For producer Leah and Mark McMurray and Mike Marfell this week, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Right, another two cars up. Don't catch all the fish or drink all the beer. Anchor down or stay in here. Might take all day, might take all year. Till we catch all the fish, till we drink all the beer.